going to, at this time, we're going to invite you to join me just for one scripture that I'm going to read, found in Revelation chapter 3, amen, in verse 11. And then we'll be able to sit. I know we've been standing, worshiping for almost, 45 minutes now, hallelujah, even longer. But you'll get to relax in just a moment. The Word of God reads, Revelation 3:11, "Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast." Someone say, "Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown." And with God's help, I'm going to speak for a few moments today on the thought, keep your crown. Keep your crown. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Amen. Keep your crown. That is the message. Now, when we think of crowns, church, we usually think of those worn by kings and royalty. We think of crowns that are made of gold and precious stones and gems, such as the famous crown jewels of the British monarch. I was fortunate enough to view those a few years ago upon visiting there in England, and I was amazed by all of the elaborate jewels and gold in those crowns, and they're deemed priceless. You can't sell them because there is no monetary value you can place on. I don't know if anybody here has ever worn a crown of some sort. If everybody put a crown on your head, or maybe sisters, a tiara, huh? Hopefully not the men, praise God, hallelujah. but, you know, maybe, I think the only crown I've ever worn was at Burger King. How many ever wanted one of those crowns? Hey, man, I wore a Burger King crown. But, it was made of very thin cardboard. It didn't last very long, right? By the time you left the place, it was already falling apart and just peeling. And I think that's the only crown physically that I've ever worn. But you know, we understand the concept and the idea of a crown. And throughout the Bible, there's different kinds of crowns. And I won't talk about all of the various crowns that we see in Scripture. There were different crowns, literal crowns, that were made of gold and precious metals. But there is a certain type of crown that I want to focus on in the New Testament that is sometimes called the victor's crown. And it is a crown that is awarded to champions. It is a special crown. It is not one like we are used to seeing in our mind, like the ones I've described, but this is a different type of crown. The Greek word for this type of crown is Stephanos. And in Roman Greco times, runners or Olympians were awarded Stephanos, a crown made of leaves or branches or out of a wreath. And this was the type of crown. So you see, it was not gold and precious metals and gems. This was a rather humble thing, but it signified something victorious. It signified a great victory or the accomplishment of an athlete or of a runner, an Olympian. They were crowned with this Stephanos. And the Lord, when he writes to one of the churches, the seven churches in Asia Minor, in the book of Revelations, to the book of Philadelphia, he writes to them, he says, to make sure that no one take your Stephanos, your crown. He's not talking about a royal crown, like a diadem, such as one that you might crown or coronate a king or a queen. He is talking about the victor's crown. He is talking about the reward that one believer receives when we enter into glory one day. So it's the believer's Stephanos, that crown of reward that we ought to live our lives for. It is a reward for your obedience, for your endurance, and your faithfulness unto the end. Somebody say amen today. But according to the Word of God, it is possible to lose your Stephanos. It is possible to lose your crown. You can potentially lose your victory. You can lose your reward. You can miss your reward. Your crown can even be stolen by the enemy. It could be stolen by the traumas of life, by people, by problems and types of pain and plights. The crown, it can fall from where it belongs. And so the warning in the verse today that God had, that the Spirit of the Lord had for the church, is as relevant today as it was then, that we must hold fast, amen, our reward, so that no one or no man or no thing can cheat us out of our Stephanos, that can cheat us out of our crown. And we ought to make sure that nothing in this life, be it spiritual, be it emotional or financial, relational, otherwise, will rob us of that great reward that is promised to those who endure to the very end. How many of you want to make it to the end? Amen. That's my plan. But there is a crown, and I don't just want to make it to heaven. I don't know about you, but I don't just want to slide in like a runner rounding third base coming home, you know, by the skin of my teeth. You know, I don't want to make it on a pinky. You know, they got to zoom in the camera. Did his pinky touch the base? Okay, he's in. He said, I don't want to just barely make it to heaven. Amen. I want to get there and hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. I want to hear those words. I want to be crowned, not with the king's crown, that's his, but with my Stephanos, with my reward, with my prize. And so how is it then that the believer today can keep your crown? How can we hold fast to that? Let me give you a few things to consider here this afternoon to keep your crown. Number one, to keep your crown, you have to first keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the prize. You need to know why you're running. You need to know why. You need to know why you're running. Not just that you're running. That's not good enough. Hey, look at me. I'm running. Don't pat yourself on the back just because you're running. The question is, why are you running? Why are you running? We're not, as believers, just running for exercise. Is that correct? We're not just running for exercise. We're not just running just to run. We're not just running on a treadmill or running just to make a few laps around the block. There is a prize at the end of the run. There is a reward. There is something that awaits us both in this life, because God is that good, and in the life to come, the promise of our reward. Paul writes about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Everybody's running, but only such will receive the prize. He said, run in, someone say run. Come on, say it again, run. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. He said, you got to run. You got to run your life in such a way that you can eventually obtain that reward. And anyone who competes for the prize is temperate or self-controlled in all things. Now they do obtain a perishable crown, but for we, an imperishable crown. So we are running for a crown that will not diminish or will not perish or lack over time, but we are running for an imperishable reward, a heavenly, divine, sacred, and everlasting reward. We are running this race, this Christian race, and we are running with the calling of God upon our lives so that eventually we will be crowned. But if you lose sight of the fact that that is our reward, that is our goal, that is the point of it all, then you could allow petty and terrestrial and earthly and material and worldly things to keep you and to distract you from that ultimate prize that God has. If you take your eyes off the prize, you will find yourself running for all kinds of reasons, the wrong reasons. You may find yourself running, but you're running from things. God did not call call us to simply run away from things. He didn't call us simply to run from our past or from people, from situations, from the devil. The Christian life isn't simply about running away from things. It's about running towards something. Amen, somebody. I have come today to encourage, to motivate, to edify somebody's heart and spirit today. If you ever feel like perhaps you're getting distracted or you're losing sight of what it's all about, let me remind you here this afternoon that we are running a race and we're running to finish this race. We are running to receive that prize that God has prepared for his people. Hallelujah. I'm not running from the world. I'm not running from the devil. In fact, the devil is supposed to be running from me. That's why the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. I'm not fleeing from anybody. I'm not fleeing from anything, but I am running towards my calling in Christ. Amen, somebody. Clap your hands. Let's give God some praise here today. That's why Paul said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm running towards that. I've got my eyes on the prize. I cannot afford myself. I cannot afford to miss my divine moment in God. I've got to keep focused on him. I can't be like Peter, who's stepping out on the water and allowing the wind and the waves to distract him from his eyes being fixed on Jesus. I've got to fix my eyes on the Lord. I've got to remember what it's all about. I've got to remember that this running that I'm doing is for a prize. So in order to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant. I don't know about you, but in my faith, I don't want to come in second place. I don't want to have just a consolation. I don't want to have a participation trophy. You know, trophies don't mean a whole lot anymore because everyone gets one. You know what I'm saying? I mean, back in the days, you had to earn it, right? But because we live in a time and an age where, you know, we don't want to offend anybody or hurt anybody's feelings, everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a trophy. And you know what that does? In the process of rewarding everybody, you cheat those who actually put in the preparation and endured and came out on top or were victorious, and it devalues the whole concept of a reward. I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I don't just want a participation trophy. I don't just want a good attitude trophy, if that's all. I want the Stephanos. Hallelujah. I want that crown upon my head that said you endured to the end. You overcame your trial. You could have given up. You could have thrown in the towel. You could have said forget all of this. But you kept fighting and you kept running and you kept remembering that there was a prize at the end of it, and you rose above your problems and you kept on worshiping. Come on, somebody. You kept on praising. You kept on worshiping. You kept on dancing. You kept on. Oh, I wish there was somebody in this house today that was run. Anybody want to run? I've got to run. Second thing we've got to do is you got to hold to what you have. You need to know not only why you're running, brother, sister, friend. You need to know what you're running on. What you're running with. The Lord told his church in verse 8, this same church of Philadelphia, he told them, he said, you have a little strength. He says, I see all your works, and I have set before you an open door. In other words, I'm blessing you. I've got, how many of you know God's got an open door for you? Amen. I'm putting before you an open door, and guess what? Nobody, not even the devil himself, can shut it. So all these things are going to happen for you because I've already ordained it. I've already ordered your steps. It's going to happen. Just keep running. But then he tells him, but for you have little strength. So on the one hand, God's saying, I'm about to open up some massive doors for you that no devil can shut, no man can shut. Well, at the same time, you need to recognize you're working with a little strength. And a little strength doesn't sound very promising, folks. It doesn't sound like a whole lot. I want God to give me a lot of strength. I want God to give me a lot of resources. I want God to give me a lot of stuff because that's how the human mind thinks. We think we need a lot in order to accomplish a lot, but we serve a God that's in the little things. Oh, I wish I had a believer here today. Hallelujah. I said, we serve a God of the little things. And that's why in verse 11, as we read earlier, the Lord said, hold fast to what you have. Hold fast to that. I want you to understand today, church, that God doesn't need a lot in order to do a lot. He said, I've got doors I'm going to open in your life, and all you've got is a little strength, but all that strength is all that you need in order for you to make it. You may be looking at your life today. I feel like I'm talking to somebody right now, and you may be thinking, I don't have a lot. I don't have a lot of contacts. I don't have a lot of friends. I don't have a lot of money. I don't have a lot of people. I don't have a lot of strength. But let me tell you something, that God can do more with a little than he can do when you have a lot. Oh, I wish I had a witness in this house today. Don't, whatever you do, don't count yourself out. Don't count yourself out because of how little you have. That's where God specializes, in taking the little strength that we have and stretching it beyond what we thought was humanly possible. This is how God works. And you know why he does it? So he gets the glory. Because if you have a lot and you accomplish a lot, you can say, look at what we did. But God takes the little stuff, the little. Somebody say little strength. Come on, say it again. Little strength. I don't know. I feel like there's somebody here today. You feel like you got little strength. You know, I just got a little strength. Pastor, you know, it's been one of those years. It's been one of those days. It's been one of those months. I just got a little bit of strength. You know, man, after that big bill I just paid, I just got a little bit left in my account. Man, after what I've been, I just got a little bit of hope. I'm just dreaming. I don't dream as big as I just got a few. I got one more dream left. I just got a little bit of things that I'm still working on and still waiting on. I just got a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Let me tell you, don't look at what you don't have, because that's not where revival is coming from. Somebody needs to help me here today. Your miracle is in what you already have. I said your miracle is in what you already have. That's where God's going to move. Elisha told the widow who was about to see her sons taken by the creditors in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 2. He asked her this important question: what do you have in your house? What do you have in your house? Tell me, what is it that you've got? You know, what can we work with? And she replied and said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but this jar of oil. And she was probably thinking, man, I'm embarrassed to admit, I'm ashamed to admit that this is all I've got in my house. I just got this little jar of oil. But a little jar of oil is greater than an ocean of water, because God can take that little jar and multiply it and stretch it. And so that's exactly what the Lord did. He said, go and borrow just as many vessels as you can. Bring all the emptiness that you can. Collect all the jars that you can. And then watch how I'll take that little bit of strength, that little bit of oil, and watch me multiply. I don't know if there's somebody in this place today that's waiting on God to multiply some stuff. Can I preach like I want to here this afternoon? Somebody say preach. Hallelujah. If you've got some little things that you want God, if you're waiting on a multiplication miracle, you're in the right place with the right God. Because I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but God says, I'm about to take that little strength that you got and do a miracle in your life. Somebody ought to praise God. Somebody ought to celebrate. Somebody ought to worship. Come on, I'm not my. Come on, right there, somebody, you gotta grab a hold of this word. Come on, why don't you take a moment right now? Grab a hold of this world. Everything you need is in the house, he says, to fulfill your calling, to finish your race. A little with God is greater than a lot without him. And so he tells the runners in the Church of Philadelphia, he said, I'm about to blow your mind. I've already said that there's doors that are coming. You haven't even seen them yet. But just know this, you have a little strength. But that little strength is all you need. That's all you need is a little strength. Hallelujah. Someone say, that's all I need. All right. I want to give you the third thing. And that is, don't stop running. Turn to somebody and tell them, don't stop running. Don't stop running. Don't stop running. Can I get into the meat and potatoes of this message now? Anybody hungry for the word today? Hallelujah. Amen. So far, we've just been eating salad and breadsticks and stuff. That's some good stuff right there. I like that. Maybe you consider that meat. Amen. But let's get into some meat and potatoes right here, because not only do you need to know why you're running and what you're running on, but you need to know how to run. Someone say, you got to know how. You got to know how to run. So give me a few moments to talk about how to run. It's not enough to know why. It's not enough to know what you're running on, but the Word of God tells us how to run. In Hebrews 12:1, the writer says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. In other words, we've got an audience. Ooh. Yeah, how many? You know you got an audience? Don't look around in here. I'm not talking about the church. Hey, someone's like, ooh, I better pose. I didn't know I had an audience. Hey, is this going on Instagram or what is this? You know, get my good side if you're going to get, you know. No, not here. We got an audience. You know where? In heaven. There's a great cloud of witnesses. You know how? All the saints down the ages. All the other ones who made it over and lived to tell the story. Woo, my God. I'm not just talking about the saints in this Bible church. I'm talking about the brethren in our lifetime that have already made it over. A great cloud of witnesses, he tells them, they're all waiting. They're standing in the bleachers, and they're watching us run our race. Whew, hallelujah. I'm getting excited about that. Amen. And he said, we are surrounded by a cloud of great witnesses, right? And then he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run our race. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. He said, we've got a great cloud of witnesses. They're all cheering us on. Amen. They want us to win. But in order to run and to achieve this crown, this Stephanos, to be crowned with the Stephanos, the victor's crown, we've got to run, but we've got to do so wisely. And he said, if you're not careful as you're running, there are some things that can get in your way. And so if I can, for a few moments, deduce some of these powerful applications from this one verse. He says, you've got to run the race that is set before us. So the first thing I just want to just deduce from here is that you got to run your own race. Amen. Amen. Amen, somebody. God didn't call you to run somebody else's race. Hello. He called you to run your own race. Can I make this plain? Somebody say, make it plain. God's not going to receive you in heaven one day and say, you did a good job running your brother's race. He's not going to look at you. He's going to say, what did you do with the race I set before you? And so I believe that in this last hour, because the Lord said, behold, I've come quickly. This word is a word, it is a prophetic word. It is a word of the end time, because all of this is about how quick and how soon the Lord is coming. He said, but you've got to run your own race. Do not be tempted to step out of your lane and get into someone else's race. Every man in here, you need to run your own race. Every woman, you got to run your own race. My race is my race. I got to stay in the lane that God put before me. He said this, for the race set before us.
So what race is God calling me to run? Don't worry about what anybody else is doing. Stay in your own lane. Don't worry. Well, I don't know. I see that brother over there, man. I mean, he's getting all the, you know, all the opportunity he's getting. No, you run your race. I don't know about that, sister, man. If they only knew the stuff I knew about her, well, just keep it to yourself then. Run your own race. I got another way of saying it. Mind your own business. Mind your own. Someone just say, mind your own. Mind your own. Everybody's got their own race to run. But what we need in this last hour are not people who are going to be swayed by the populace. Not people who are just going to go with the crowd and go with the flow and go. And God's not looking for you to build a consensus with anybody. What he wants for you, what is the race I set before you, and are you running in it? Because when you stand before heaven, God's not gonna put you in a big group of other people and say, how'd you all do? He's going to say, did you run your race?
Hello, somebody. Someone say hello.
Hello.
Be your own man. Be your own woman. Say, then stand on your own 2 feet. Say, this is where God has sent me to run.
Yeah.
And I'm going to run. My calling might look different than yours, brother and sister. My calling, the gift that God has given me, it's going to look different. The way I live my life, I might even rule my household a little different. I might have a higher standard in my house than you. I might have a different standard than you. But we don't have to compare each other with the races that we're running. Why? Because God has set before me a race.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody. I hope I'm helping you. The next thing I need to tell you about, we introduce from here, is that you don't need speed, you need stamina. He said, let us run with endurance. Go back to the verse. Let us run with endurance the race. He didn't say, let's run with speed. Huh? Last one there is a rotten egg. No, that's not it. No. Run with endurance. Stamina. That's what is needed. Church, hear me today. In this hour, especially among the younger generation, which you're all the younger generation today, praise God.
Amen.
That's right. I heard a bishop come in. I'm a young one. Put me in, coach, huh? But the Bible teaches us that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. The Bible teaches that it's given to the one that endures. This is not a race to see who gets there the quickest and the fastest. This is not a numbers race. This is not a foot race. This is not, in fact, oh my Lord, I'm not even racing against you.
Right.
It's a race against time.
Yeah.
Ooh, because time is running out.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I'm not going to cut any corners on the way to the prize.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take an alternate route. I'm going to endure to the very end. The crown doesn't go to the fastest. It goes to the one who endures the race.
Yep.
Remember the tale of the tortoise and the hare?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Hear about, man, he was blazing that. Ooh, my hooves are burning. He was just like, look, I could run like the wind. I could go. And then the tortoise was the slow one. Right? But you know what the first one was? Patient. Patient. I'm running patiently. And eventually, you know what God's going to do? God's going to reward us with the Stephanos.
Yes.
How many of you want the Stephanos? Oh, I want the crown. Yes, I do. I want the crown. The next thing you got to do is you got to unload the weight. He said, lay aside every weight and the sin. Man, I don't have all the time today to break this down, but let us lay aside every weight, every heaviness, every burden. If you don't lay aside the weight, now I want to maybe I will break it down just a little bit. I don't know. Someone say, break it down just a little bit. Okay, just so you understand that there are different types of things that can hold us back. Some of it is sin, right? Of course, if you're living in sin, immorality and sin unconfessed, well, that will absolutely sideline you from making progress. I think we all understand that, at least we should. But the other things that we don't talk enough about is every weight. He makes a distinction. If all he was talking about, if a weight was sin, then he wouldn't have said weight. All he would say is lay aside the sin. But he said lay aside every weight. The weight are not necessarily sins. The weight are simply things that we have not offloaded off of our lives. The weight are simply the burdens, the cares, the hurts, the pains, the frustrations, the disappointments that have been placed on our life through one means or another that through a process of time we never got rid of, and eventually it either slowed us down or it took us off of our race. And he said, you've got to lay aside those things. Lay them at an altar. Lay them at the cross. Lay them at the feet of Jesus. But if you're going to receive your Stephanos at the end of the race, you've got to lay down those weights that ensnare us. So that my offense with my brother doesn't hold me. My unforgiveness doesn't hold me. My pain, my disappointment, my shattered dream. I wish somebody would hear what I'm saying today. You got to unload those things in the name of Jesus, because I didn't start this race just to quit. I didn't start this race just to take the easy or the off ramp, the next off ramp. Hallelujah. And so if I got to let go of some things, let somebody say, let it go. If I got to let some things go, let it go. If I got to unload some things in my life, and I'm willing to unload them so that I can make it to the end and receive my Stephanos. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother John, if you come up and help me. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'm talking to somebody here, but I know in my faith and in my own walk with the Lord, I have been running this race. And now that we are coming towards the end of this calendar year, I feel like there's somebody here today a little strength. You're saying, oh, Pastor, I'm barely making it. I'm making it on fumes. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. With electric cars nowadays, you know, you don't know what fumes are like, but hallelujah. But for some of us who still got gas cars, you know, when you haven't got a refill in a while and it's on E, you know, your car is running on fumes. You know, you're barely making it. But God is saying, don't worry. Even if you're running on fumes, even if you're running on just whatever you've got left, even if you're running on just a little bit of strength, can I preach to somebody here today? God says you've got to finish what you started in the Lord. You didn't come this far to stop now. You didn't come this far to give up now. Come on, somebody. You didn't come this far to turn back now. God didn't bring you all this way so that you didn't finish what you started. But the Bible said you got to finish this race. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I wish somebody would hear what I'm saying this afternoon. There's a saying that says it's not how you start, it's how you finish. The kingdom of God is full of starters, but what God is looking for in this hour are finishers. Oh, hallelujah. In 2026, I want to be a finisher. Anybody want to be a finisher? I'm going to rejoice because it wasn't